listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, it's Monday. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're going to have an important discussion today, a discussion that has been discussed ad infinitum since the beginning of physical culture time. And we're going to be talking about how cardiovascular training, aerobic training, which is an important component of the exercise regimen, but how it affects gaining strength, which is equally an important component of the exercise regimen. You obviously don't want your cardio training to diminish your ability to gain strength. You want it to enhance that. And my guest today, Dr. Jacob Wilson, will be discussing that in just a moment. I just want to remind everybody that AgeForce is giving away a free month of their fat burner patch. For the month of January, if you go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad, you will get a free month's trial of the fat burner patch, which so many people have come on the show and talked about how much they love it. In fact, it works so well that people eventually cancel their orders saying they've reached their goal weight. They don't need it anymore. While that sounds like a bad thing for a supplement company, it's actually a good thing because it means the patch works. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the AgeForce banner ad today. What do you have to lose but some body fat? Check it out. Okay. Dr. Wilson, how you doing? Did I lose you? Hold on a second. This is live radio at its best. Okay. Listen to just a little bit of music for a couple seconds.
Around me long, it's been me, death becomes me heaven. Can you see what I see? Hey, you pale and sick of charge, you're deaf and living reconciled. Been walking home a crooked mile, begging death to cover your body for a living. What you take won't kill you, but careful what you give in. Careful what you give in.
We have ghosts in the studio today. How you doing, Dr. Wilson?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I didn't think we were going to have you on. I have a problem. It's funny. We have a switchboard here, and this morning when I came in, all the lights were lit up. Like, we had like 100 calls coming in, and we don't even have that many phone lines. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And I think our controller on our Telos unit went south on us over the weekend. So anyway, but we are here now, and we will proceed with the discussion. I don't know if you heard the intro, but I said, you know, we've been discussing this whole notion that exercise has to be, you have to make a choice whether you're going to focus on strength or focus on endurance and cardiovascular training, because a lot of people believe that cardiovascular training actually detracts from your ability to get stronger. And you basically did a meta-analysis of quite, how many studies were in this meta-analysis?
Over 30.
Okay. And out of these 30 studies, how many actual subjects would you say were in? What is the terminology that you guys use for that?
Well, out of all the studies, there's, you know, a couple hundred subjects.
Okay. Okay. And so, what did you look for, and what did you learn?
Well, basically, as you said, there's this huge, you know, deal where, what if a guy wants to, or a girl wants to get stronger or change their muscle mass, but then they also want to get endurance gains, you know, or perform an endurance event. Well, what the overall results of the study showed were that endurance exercise can interfere with your strength gains, particularly your power gains and your muscle gains. So what we tried to figure out was, why is that occurring? And more importantly, can you prevent it? Can you have a balance between the two?
Yeah, and that because let's face it, you cannot ignore the cardiovascular benefits of endurance training. As it was told to me, aerobic exercise increases the volume throughput of the heart, where resistance training can increase the stroke and power of the heart. And these are two very independent functions that, if the heart becomes overweighted on one side or the other, it's not necessarily a good thing for an athlete, I'm talking about.
Sure. No, I agree.
Okay. So,
and
go ahead, speak on that, please.
Well, and also, there's so many sports that require, you know, both. You know, both power, strength, and, you know, endurance performance.
Like a football player, for instance, right?
Yeah, or particularly like even like a hockey player who's got a sprint, you know, but also has a last or a long shift and several shifts throughout the game, or even a basketball player. They have to jump, explode, but then they got to go back and forth on the court, you know, for a long time.
So what types of cardiovascular or aerobic modalities did you look at and separate out?
Okay, so we looked at a number of different things. If we talk about modality, we looked at running as compared to cycling. And what we found was that people who ran had greater declines in strength and power and muscle gains than when they cycled, which is kind of interesting. Why is that the case, right? Well, you have to think about, well, why is endurance exercise actually interfering with strength training? One of the main reasons we think is because it causes sort of an overtraining effect. You're just doing more.
Right.
So, you know, so basically what happens, what we know is that if you run, you actually get more muscle damage when you run than if you cycle. So,
is that just a function of impact alone? Because running obviously is a much higher impact process than riding a bicycle.
Precisely. So you have more impact, and you have more lengthening of the muscle. When you lengthen the muscle, you cause the most damage. So then it's harder for you to, you have to recover from that damage, and you're having to recover from your resistance training. And so it just overwhelms your body's ability to adapt. The other thing to think about too is, if you think about how we measure strength, you know, when you might do something like a squat or a leg press, or if you're looking at power, you might do a vertical jump. Well, long distance running, you have very little hip flexion, very little movement at the knee. Whereas when you're doing cycling, you have a lot of hip flexion, and it's more similar, the range of motion, to what you would have on something like a squat or a jump. So
right.
I think it's more specific.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so is the effect of aerobic training on muscular power strictly a situation of overtraining? Is that it? Because obviously there are power lifters out there who think that even walking for a half hour or an hour will reduce their power output. And some of them, there's a large body of evidence out there that they could be correct. And surely walking wouldn't produce an overtraining effect, right?
Well, so that's a really good question. It all depends on, your level of conditioning. So essentially what we're looking at is, if you think of your muscles as, the hardware, then you think of your brain and your spinal cord as containing sort of the software that tells your muscles to be explosive. So what happens is, if you do long-duration cardio, you're actually teaching your nervous system and your brain and all the programs that are stored there to teach your muscles to fire slowly, to act slowly, to not be able to develop force quickly. Because if you think about it, if you're running and you develop force really quickly, you're going to tire out faster.
Right.
So you want sort of something like that. Whereas when you're training for pure strength, you're teaching your nervous system to fire muscles quickly, to recruit a lot of your muscle. And so what we have is an interference effect in your nervous system. So as far as walking, it all depends on the intensity of the walk. If you're out for a stroll with your wife, when you're looking at the birds and walking 2.5-3 miles an hour, that's not going to interfere with strength gains. In fact, I've seen studies where they've walked at 3 miles an hour for a couple hours, and there was not a decline in signaling for growth in the muscle. So, or protein synthesis specifically. So basically, if you have low intensity, now if you're a very, very large power lifter, a heavyweight, and walking up the stairs is killing you.
Yeah, then walking 3 miles an hour for an hour is going to kill you.
Exactly.
Too.
That might be, then yeah, that could.
Okay, I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to pick up the discussion, and I just want to talk about muscle fiber type in these different modalities of training. We're talking with Dr. Jacob Wilson. We're talking about how aerobic training may interfere or enhance your strength gains. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Have you ever been let down by so-called nitric oxide muscle pump products before? Well, prepare to be shocked. Vengeance is like nothing you've ever tried before. Vengeance leverages several different scientifically proven technologies to deliver what some users say are painfully explosive pumps. If you're satisfied with nitric oxide products that make you wonder if they're working, move on. But if you want a muscle pump that you'll not only feel, but others will see, train with a vengeance. Go to XFMuscle.com today and get vengeance. Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the H-Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the H-Force banner ad today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. Jacob Wilson. We're talking about the effects of aerobic training on your muscle gains, size and strength, hypertrophy and strength gains. Because obviously there's a sweet spot, and it may even be different for everybody. As we discussed going into the break, that very large people may find that walking for 3 miles an hour for a period of an hour can actually cause them a great deal of distress. Dr. Wilson, what about the changes and transitions? We know that muscle fibers can change, correct? They can change from fast twitch to slow twitch, and there's even some hybrid fibers in there. Do we see that playing a role here?
Well, basically, with concurrent training, so as you say, we have slow twitch fibers, which are primarily endurance, and then we have fast twitch fibers, which are primarily for strength events. Concurrent training, as far as what I've seen, does not interfere with the inner conversion. What it mainly interferes with is the hypertrophy or the growth of the type 2 fibers. So it prevents them from growing or blunts that growth.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing to think about is that if you actually take a muscle fiber out and isolate it and look at how fast it can contract, running or endurance exercise will actually cause that velocity or speed that the fiber can contract to be less. So that's interesting. It's changing the properties of the fiber.
What about just the localized effects on ATP? And even maybe even glycogen storage and utilization as a result of concurrent training with aerobic and resistance training. Could that simply be all it is? It's just the muscle is really not as well, rested. You know, just the it's used up some of its fuel in the aerobic side.
Great question. My brother, Dr. Gabriel Wilson, actually did some research on looking at the role of ATP in muscle growth and protein synthesis. And basically what he found was that you can give your body all the protein you want, but if your muscle's low in energy, it won't actually stimulate new growth. So as you say, when you're doing endurance exercise, it's draining the cells, your muscle cells, of energy. Now, even if you say, well, here's some protein, you actually are not able to build muscles efficiently because you don't have the energy to do so. So that's exactly right. But there are ways that we can counter that.
Okay, so, we're gonna talk about. I want to save that just for a little bit deeper into the interview here. I want to talk about the three different modalities. You looked at three different training styles, correct? In this meta-analysis.
Yeah. Well, we looked at running, we looked at cycling, and we also have done some stuff with sprinting.
Okay. And these were all done either before or after the resistance, all done before the resistance training session, correct?
Well, they've been done before, after, and on separate days.
Okay. So we have really six variables here. We have the different types of aerobic exercise, and then we have their timing in relationship to the resistance training. So give us a feel for what is the most detrimental for building greater strength and muscle.
Well, as we talked about, running is definitely detrimental. What we've also found is that the dose or how long you do the endurance about is detrimental in a dose-dependent fashion. So the longer you go in your cardio, the greater the interference effects that you're going to see.
Was the interference more pronounced in the muscles of the legs since they're doing the running and not so much the upper body, or is this systemic changes?
It's more pronounced in the legs. So basically, it's what you're targeting. So if you had someone doing elliptical and they were really cranking the arm pump, then they could get interference effects in their arms. If they were holding the stand, that wouldn't be the case.
Or if they were using an upper body ergometer, because there's a new trend, this is an interesting study that you published on the heels of several studies that we've talked about on this show, including a scientist who is working on behalf of NASA to help astronauts avoid the muscle degradation that occurs in zero gravity. They're looking for more efficient modalities of training. And they are looking at combining aerobic training with resistance training to get the greatest hypertrophic effect. However, they're not sprinting, and they're using upper body ergometers on upper body days, and they're using cycling on lower body days. Which clearly this changes the equation dramatically, doesn't it?
It does. What I can tell you is that the data seems to suggest that you should separate your cardio sessions, especially if they're traditional, from the days that you would actually do the weights. So basically, like if I trained my legs on Tuesday and Thursday, and I also did my cardio, my runs on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I would get less gains in strength and muscle as if I took those cardio days and put them on Monday and Wednesday or Monday and Saturday.
Right.
So if you separate them, and one of the reasons why is exactly what you had just said, you have a chance to replenish your muscle energy source.
Now, intra-workout drinks are all the rage today. Do you think that intra-workout drinks can benefit somebody who is doing cardio on the same days as they are training body parts?
I think so. If someone's doing a lot of cardio and energy is part of the reason why they're getting interference effects, then for them, intra-workout drinks could be beneficial.
Yeah, I think that's the case as well. You know, we're learning so much. And also, your group looked at changes in body fat and also maximal heart rate. Can you just talk briefly about that and the effects that you found in the different groups?
Well, this is in a way really funny. If you go to the gym, you know, everyone knows when they go to the gym and they go on the treadmill, it has your heart rate target zone, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like 65% of your heart rate max.
For fat burning, you're talking about. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, so, you know, people have their heart rate monitors, like, okay, I got to get in the zone because that's when I'm burning the most fat. Well, people don't realize that the studies done on that were looking just within the exercise session. But if someone wants to lose fat, we need to look over the full, say, 12-week time. And what happens during the session is not always reflective of what happens for over a long period of time. And basically what we found is that, unlike what the treadmill's telling you, the higher the intensity, the more fat you're losing. And it actually, it's really simple to think about. Look at sprinters. Like, look at what they look like.
Yeah.
They're absolutely chiseled.
And well, and they're muscular, as opposed to a distance runner who can also be lean, but generally isn't. But sprinters are always very lean, but also very muscular.
Exactly right. So, and that's why we think that this interval sprint-type training is important. And in fact, and this is some new data from our lab, a researcher in our lab, Marshall Nemo, just did a study where he took hockey players, and what we did was, you know, we had them do either pure interval, where they were doing 10-second sprints, 30-second sprints on a cycle ergometer versus long-duration 60-minute cardio. And the guys doing the 60-minute cardio, were we looked directly at their muscle, were losing muscle, and the guys doing the interval were actually gaining muscle. So the sprinting itself can be anabolic. And you can see that with sprinters.
Right. And interval training is all the rage right now, but we also know that interval training can actually push you into an overtrained state much faster than most people think. I mean, interval training needs to be done it should not be done every single day like slow state cardio can be done.
Agreed. So I think, you know, basically you're looking at no more like, you know, 2-3 times a week with something like that. And the other thing is it's really short. You know, I will tell you right now, when guys are like, oh, I just did a 1-minute interval, I question the intensity of the interval. Because if you look at the studies with interval training, what we've done in our lab, if you're going all out, you might be burnt out in 10 seconds.
Yeah, I am.
You know, and yeah, exactly. And no more than 30. So basically what I'm recommending is things like all out, you know, everything you got for 10 to 30 seconds, you know.
And I'm going to step in here and say, unless you are a well-trained athlete who is running all the time, who is a sprinter already, just shoot for 10 seconds. Because if you go all out for 10, I don't know about many of you, but I can run really fast for a big guy, and my legs get moving so fast, my heart gets pounding, and in 10 seconds, I can't keep up with my legs any longer. I have to literally slow down because I can feel it. My upper body starts to shift, and that's all I've got. I mean, it's everything I've got to blast off for 10 seconds. Now, I'm 54 years old, granted, and younger guys may be able to do it for 15 seconds, but the reality is if you're running all out, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, you're not metering yourself. You're not governing yourself. You're not rating yourself, as they say with horses. You can't get much more than 10 to 15 seconds out of your body unless you are, you know, you've been training for a decade to sprint.
Exactly right. You know, because you definitely, honestly, when you start doing 30 seconds, there's definitely some pacing that goes on.
Yeah, you definitely do. There's no doubt about it. You're like watching the clock going, okay, I got 6 more seconds to go, and you're slowing down around the last fourth of the run. You're starting to slow down to pace yourself.
Exactly.
But anyway, what I want to talk about when we come back from this break is discuss what can be done if people insist on doing their cardio on the same days that they train for strength. Okay. We're talking with Dr. Jacob Wilson. We're talking about his research where he examined the interference of aerobic exercise on resistance training. This is an important discussion because we all want to get stronger and we don't want to take the long way there. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you want want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today. Calling all men. The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Jacob Wilson. Dr. Wilson, Stephen Lay, who's our director of marketing and sales, he's a recovering cyclist, I guess is the right term. And he just texted me and said, cycling sprints are much easier on the body for injuries. So obviously you can sprint, you can do an all-out sprint on a bicycle, you can do it on an elliptical machine. But clearly we know that running and running sprints is definitely much more damaging to the body and a lot tougher on the body as well. So if you want to do that sort of stuff, maybe a recumbent bike or a bicycle or even a elliptical machine is the way to go. What can people do? Look, I've just fallen in love with a new way of training, okay? I'm gonna do a mea culpa here. I do something that Elisa Profumo taught me, who is my co-host on Friday's show. And now I go into the gym, I do 10 minutes of warm-up cardio, which I've always done. Very, very slow state. I'm talking about 3 miles an hour. Then I go and I do a couple heavy movements, and then I come back and I do 10 more minutes, and then I go back and do some lighter high rep movements for whatever body part I'm training, and then I come back and I do 10 more minutes. And then if I really feel good, I'll go back and do another set of movements, and then I'll come back and do 10 minutes. So I'm actually building my cardio into my resistance training, but I'm not doing anything heroic on the cardio side. I'm just trying to increase volumetric throughput to the heart in the same session that I'm creating. You know, I want to create an eccentric and concentric hypertrophy of the heart simultaneously as opposed to one or the other.
Okay. So I think basically it's kind of the same concept. As long as, you know, the cardio is not 65% of your VO2 max or your heart rate max, which is going to cause the greatest decrement, as long as you're not doing anything taxing, you shouldn't get interference. In fact, you know, active recovery, which is kind of what you're doing in a way, could, you know, get the metabolites out of the muscle and allow you to lift more, bring blood flow to the muscle. Because a lot of times, if you think about it, let's say guys are training legs and they do a heavy set of squats. They might just sit down on the bench for 10 minutes.
Right.
And then do another set, you know? So, and a lot of studies actually do show that active recovery, low intensity, like walking between sets, can actually improve performance during the exercise though.
Because you get the metabolic waste out of the muscle, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
And this is why exactly. I'm so pissed off at my gym, because they took the upper body ergometer out to go have it repaired. And that is what I would do on the days I train chest, shoulders, or back. And then I would walk on the elliptical, the treadmill or the elliptical machine on the days I train legs. And the damn thing wasn't there, so I had to just do elliptical. So I'm doing my cardio with my legs, but I'm lifting with my arm, my chest and my shoulders and my arm. You know, it just didn't work out today. But so are you a proponent for body part specific, aerobic exercise like that to enhance ridding the body of metabolic waste? Like if you're training chest, then go over to the upper body ergometer or use the elliptical machine where you're using your arms as well?
It becomes tricky. So basically, if you clear the metabolites out, like lactic acid and things like that, it can help performance. And again, I have to emphasize that it should be, you know, walking, because a lot of times I'll see trainers have their clients do legs and then go run, and that would definitely interfere with the training. So if it's like what you're doing, it could be positive for strength. Now, here's the thing, though. One of the things we know is that when you build up metabolites in your muscle, they actually stimulate growth. So if your main purpose on a given day is muscle growth, yeah, you might not want to do that. In fact, Jeremy Lineke, my colleague's done a ton of research on actually increasing metabolite buildup, preventing it from leaving your muscle.
We've done shows on it. The Kiatsu method is fantastic for that.
Exactly.
And I actually now, finally, when I train arms, I actually wear bands on my upper arms, and I can tell you that my biceps have changed finally after all these decades of training. My arms are finally starting to grow, and it's because I put bands on and I congest the muscle.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're doing a lot of what we call practical blood flow restriction training in our lab right now. Because, you know, the Kiatsu device is like $10,000. So, like, you're using the bands.
Yeah.
And but no one's studying that stuff. So two of my main students, Ryan Lowry and Jordan Joy, just did a lot of research last semester where they used the bands like you said, and they saw an increase in like motor unit recruitment. So you're recruiting more muscles, you're increasing metabolites, you're increasing the swelling of the muscle, which is important for growth. And more recently, we found, just like you saw in a study, that it increased, you know, bicep size.
Yeah. I'm going to start wearing a noose around my neck when I train my neck. No, I'm like, yeah. I don't think that's a good idea. So what can we do to mitigate the effects of aerobic training? How should aerobic training really be worked in if your desire is to continue to get stronger and build muscle?
Okay. So here's my, if I were to sum it up, I would say this. one, cycling is going to be part of your best modality. Two, you should be very high intensity. 10-second sprints, no more than 30-second sprints. And that should be for about anywhere from 4 to 10 reps, you know, total. The next thing is you should separate your cardio, if it's high-intensity cardio or moderate-intensity cardio, you should separate it from your weight training.
Okay.
As opposed to the active recovery you were talking about would be different.
Right.
But if you're doing cardio that would actually cause a stimulus, it should be on separate days from the weight training itself. The cardio should be kept short. The longer the duration,
what do you consider short? 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
For the total session, yes. And that includes breaks.
Okay.
If you're doing interval training and you're doing 10-second sprint and you're resting 2 minutes, you know, then your total session time might be 20 minutes.
Right.
So that's what I would say. Also, what most people don't realize is that, what about my endurance? You're sprinting. Am I really improving my endurance? And the answer is yes. We've seen large increases in VO2 max that are similar to long duration cardio when you're doing these sprints. And the reason why is, you are draining the muscle cell of so much energy that it actually stimulates the increase in our fat, you know, burning, you know, fuel houses, our mitochondria. So it's draining the cell drastically, and it forces your cell to increase mitochondria, which is where we burn fat. So you increase endurance capacity. So it's really interesting. So that would be my overall recommendation. For those people who are doing, or like, well, I still have to do long duration cardio, well, my recommendation would be to maybe cut that in half and supplement some of it with intervals. Speaking of cycling, for example, if you do intervals along with your long duration, you'll actually increase things like your lactate threshold and be able to maintain a higher intensity. So it has benefits for both endurance athletes and strength athletes.
Are you familiar with Adel Moussa and his blog, Subversity.com?
Yes, I've heard of it.
Okay. Adel did a post on, I'm trying to see what the date is, January 2nd. I guess there's a couple different studies out there that show that if you do your cardio first before weight training, you'll be more anabolic. Do you know what that research is about and what it's pointing to?
I would have to look at what the
yeah,
the
I'm looking was. At I'm looking at this one here. One of them is called Hormonal Response to Concurrent Strength and Endurance Training with Different Exercise Orders, which was by E.L. Cador and group. And then the other one was Association of Exercise-Induced Hormone Profiles and Gains in Strength and Hypertrophy in Large Cohort After Weight Training, which was by D.W. West. I don't know. I'm just curious because this one, I have a feeling it's what you said. I have a feeling that if you do your some cardio first and then train, you may not be strong, but the hormonal effects because of the lack of adequate glycogen and ATP recycling causes a greater buildup of metabolic waste, if you will, and that metabolic waste signals a greater hypertrophy effect. You think that could be possible?
What I know is if you do traditional cardio before your resistance train, you won't be able to lift as heavy, and there's evidence that if you're in a low glycogen state, you won't be able to signal growth internally. So even if, for example, if you create a depletion of everything in your muscle, you know, and then you lift weights, there's such a stress that you might increase things like growth hormone, but that stimulus is going to pale in comparison to the local change in your muscle that you need for growth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that hormones aren't important, but in this case, it would be have been more important to get the direct stimulus in your muscle.
So what is the you know what, let's do this. Let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the signals in muscle for a second so that we could be clearer on what these things are. We're talking with Dr. Jacob Wilson. We're talking about his research on concurrent training, aerobic training and resistance training, and how this affects the landscape of your muscles and acquisition of greater strength. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. BioAdvantex Pharmaceuticals produces the highest quality pharmaceutical grade in acetylcysteine in an advanced effervescent delivery system. NAC has been clinically shown to improve performance, reduce fatigue, and increase power output. NAC is ideal for the high-intensity interval training athlete as it is shown to reduce respiratory fatigue. BioAdvantex PharmaNac has the highest bioavailability of any supplement in its class. Buy one, get one free of PharmaNac when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the PharmaNac banner. Ad. Pharmanac, there's nothing else like it.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Soldier Boy, tell me. Hey, I got the new damn for y'all called the Soldier Boy.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Jacob Wilson about aerobic exercise and resistance training and finding that sweet spot where you can get all the benefits of aerobic training and also of resistance training. Get stronger, build conditioning. It works hand in hand. Okay. I forgot what I was going to ask you now. Isn't that funny? This is what happens when I take text messages in between breaks.
Intramuscular signaling.
Yeah. Okay, so are we talking about mTOR? Are we talking about You know, these types of signals when we talk about building.
Definitely mTOR.
Yeah.
Yeah. mTOR definitely is one of the main signals. So,
What about myostatin? Is myostatin affected in any way, shape, or form with different types of concurrent training modalities?
That's a really good question. We have collaborated with a lab in Brazil looking at this, Carlos Urbanowicz's lab. And, you know, you seem to see some slight interference with myostatin. So, yes, that can happen. Myostatin, as everyone knows, is important for increasing the capacity of a muscle to grow. And when you eliminate myostatin, you get almost just uncontrolled growth, right?
Right, but so you don't get strength with that growth, interestingly enough. All the research shows that strength is not necessarily follow the growth from suppressing myostatin. So, I mean.
Yeah, so it's definitely interesting, but it's certainly important for, you know, growth in general.
Right.
And it works in conjunction with, and the one thing to understand is like, when you suppress myostatin, then, and you're not training at all in these models, then the muscle itself is not necessarily conditioned.
Right.
It's large. But had it been, if you condition it, if you trained your nervous system to recruit all that muscle, then your capacity to be strong should be greater.
Good point.
Yes. So, now as far as mTOR, as many of the listeners know, mTOR is the main signaling molecule for protein synthesis. So basically you want to think of it like this. When protein synthesis, we're thinking of, we're building new muscle proteins. So you're taking the building blocks of muscle, amino acids, and you're linking them together. mTOR turns that on. You start building proteins, which is called translation initiation, and then you're elongating the protein by adding amino acids. And that requires a lot of energy. So that's where my brother, Gabriel Wilson, found that if you're low in energy, you can't elongate the protein. Because it's so energetically costly. So you could have growth factors turned on, for example, but if you're low in energy, in fact, there's data out there where the signal's on, and you don't get elongation. So that's why energy is such a critical component. You could have growth factors turned on, but not grow, optimally.
Yeah. Okay. So the bottom line is, if you're not the best alternative, the prescription that you recommend is do your cardio. If you're going to do sprints and stuff like that, more heroic cardio, do it on days you're not resistance training. And if you are going to do your cardio on the days that you're training, it should be very, very light type cardio, right?
Yeah, nothing that would interfere. Nothing that would cause.
What do you think about? Does it change if cardio before, cardio after? What if you train first, resistance train first, and then you do your cardio afterwards? Does it still interfere with the increases in strength and hypertrophy the same way?
It does, because now while your muscles, when you turn on the growth signal, and cardio turns it off. So basically, what studies show is. Yeah, exactly. So basically studies show that cardio turns the protein synthesis off proportional to the duration. You turn on resistance training, then you go ahead and turn that off. Plus you're draining the cell of energy during the most important time of growth.
You know, part of me thinks that this is the grand design of the efficiency of our bodies through evolution. If the body is focusing on what we call cardio or aerobic training, and this is the ambulatory or the locomotive phase of our ability, you know, we're moving, then carrying extra weight is a deficit. And so the body wants to, you know, throw the sandbags over so it can travel better. Then if we're looking for strength, then obviously we're looking to put on muscle size. These are two different goals that the body has to struggle in between. to streamline and make the body as light as possible so that it's easier for it to travel, or to increase the mass of the body to make it stronger for these specific types of movements. And it, to me, it seems, I can understand why this is a struggle for the body. It's like, what do you want to do? Do you want to be most efficient for traveling on foot, or do you want to be the strongest you can be? You can't have both.
Yeah, it's true, and it's very true. That's exactly right. Our bodies are designed to adapt to specific adaptations to impose demands. And if one adaptation's interfering with the other, you know, it doesn't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily good to be huge if you're going to go run a marathon.
Right.
So, so then if you're training for a marathon, it's going to interfere with getting huge.
Right.
It just makes sense.
Yeah, the body is very smart. Listen, I want to change the subject just for a second, Dr. Wilson, because when we were talking off the air, you said that your group is actually doing a lot of research into healthy aging and exercise and so on. And I asked you the question, I said, do you think it's possible to continue to get stronger as you age, or is it only possible to maintain strength, not lose a lot of it as you age? What is your opinion of that?
Well, you know, I think like a lot of scientists, one of the things that motivates us is personal things. So, you know, my dad's Floyd Wilson's an avid lifter. And, you know, you want your dad to live forever. So, and be superhuman forever. So, so that led me to research things like, preventing, you know, age-related muscle loss. And, what we found is that you can get stronger with age, you know, in your 50s, you know, even in your 60s, there's studies showing people getting stronger, making adaptations in skeletal muscle. But the important thing to realize with age is when someone's a kid, you know, they can go lift weights and screw around with their nutrition, not pay attention to their recovery. They can get away with murder. You know, when you're in your 50s and you're in your 60s and 70s, everything's got to be done by the book.
Yes.
Your sleep, you know, your recovery, your nutrition, it's got to be on point. So,
I have learned this the hard way. I really have. And the worst part is when you know what it feels like to be very strong and in great condition, then not being very strong and in great condition is frustrating, and you can't harbor, well, where you were, well, this is where I was, I should be able to get there again. As you age, what I keep telling people is the slide downhill is very rapid, the climb back up is very slow. As you age,
yeah,
it becomes harder to get, but I sincerely believe that you can get back to, you can continue to get stronger for your entire life. Here's the point. I'm not saying that if you're starting at 50, that you're going to end up becoming a world-class heavyweight power lifter, because you may never see those types of totals, 2,400 pounds or whatever. But I am saying that wherever you're starting, you can increase your strength as you age. You can get older and stronger and keep making progress. And that's really the important part, because most of us don't want to be power lifters. Most of us don't want to be professional athletes, but we all want to be able to know that if we want to get stronger, we can. We don't want to be told, no, you can't, you're too old. So
exactly.
My question to you is, how much are drugs a game changer? Now, when I talk about drugs, and one of my frustrations with Dr. Harrison Pope is he whitewashes everything with the term anabolic steroids, and testosterone's an anabolic steroid. But I think that when you start to deviate from testosterone and go into some of these more boutique drugs like Trenbolone and Dianabol, they act differently on the body. But just talking about drugs like testosterone, hormone replacement therapy for a guy like your dad, I've been on HRT since 2007. That seems to be a game changer. Do you think that is a game changer? Do you think like supplementing with doctor prescribed doses of testosterone and even some peptides, can that change the landscape of how far an older guy can go in strength and conditioning?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, if you look at it, basically the thing is, what you're looking at, and the key term is hormone replacement, is you're replacing hormones within a physiological range.
Right.
Right. And there's a lot of data that improves function, improves muscle, you know, with low side effects, if any, because you're in a physiological range.
Right.
You're in the range when you were young. If someone's taking super physiological doses, you know, where they have, you know, 10 times the amount when they were 30, well, obviously there's things to consider. But if they're going within that normal range, it certainly can change the game, you know, and have a lot of positive benefits.
What kind of research are you guys doing on aging right now?
Well, what we've done is we've done a lot of research with the supplement with amino acids and their metabolites like HMB.
Yeah, Dr. Scott Connolly introduced HMB many years ago. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So basically myself, guys like Dr. Jeff Stout, you know, we're doing a lot of research on this, and we're finding that because HMB has a lot of anti-catabolic effects. Well, aging and on muscle, you have a chronic catabolic state.
Right.
You know, where you're losing 1% muscle. Well, HMB is preventing that. So what we found in our research is when you age, the genes that are regulating protein breakdown are elevated. When you take HMB, it suppresses that. So you're maintaining your muscle fiber size throughout age.
Huh. How much HMB does someone have to take? Is the dose dependent on body weight?
Yeah, it's like 38 milligrams.
That's all?
Per kilo.
Oh,
38 milligrams per kilogram of body weight.
Okay.
But in general, that's going to come out to like a 3 gram dose.
Yeah, 3 to 4 grams.
You know, 3 to 4. But I'll be honest with you, we have a lot more work to do to find the ideal dosing protocol, how many times you should take it per day. We really do, because the next step is, well, how much do you need in a single serving to maximize the effects? You know, and then how long does that last?
See, I gotta tell you something. The days of orally administered amino acids should be behind us now. Everybody knows how to use an insulin syringe. 50% of the country is diabetic. Insulin syringes are not scary anymore. Somebody in your family uses an insulin syringe. You pop it underneath the skin. It's like an eyelash. Boom. I don't understand why anybody is still fooling around with orally administered amino acids. You guys should be working on research on injectable amino acids, because that's really, I mean, that, you know, next to infused right into the bloodstream, you know, hanging from a bag, that's the best alternative. You don't need nearly as much, and you know what you're getting. Some people, their hepatic pathway is different than others. The state of the stomach at the time that they're ingesting is different. So, you know, 4 grams works for you, but it doesn't work for me. Gee, I don't understand why. But if you're injecting, a gram of HMB a day across 3 doses, you know you're getting a gram in your bloodstream, period, end of story.
Well, that's true. I think, you know, with aging, if someone's having problems, you know, with digestion, then that's certainly, you know, something that can be extremely
even more important, we know that the elderly body doesn't seem to do what it's supposed to do with proteins any longer as far as breaking it down to the component amino acids. I don't understand why anybody who's working in the area of amino acids, the anti-aging community is already on this. You can call most of the top compounding pharmacies and buy specific amino acids injectably now.
That's interesting.
That's the way to go, in my opinion. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand it's a smaller niche out there that's willing to inject. So you do the oral, but I would start doing some research on injectable HMB. Now, HMB back in the day was touted as being a precursor to creatine, correct? Is that correct, or am I wrong about that?
Well, actually, I wanted to go back to what you were saying about the injectables.
Okay.
Really quick. There's a new form of HMB that we've done some research on that it's HIV free acid. In fact, we just had a paper come out earlier this week in British Journal of Nutrition on it.
And it's HMB free. You broke up. HMB free acid.
HMB free acid. Mm. It just got published in the Journal of British Journal of Nutrition. So if you check it out, look up it on PubMed. HMB free acid. There's only going to be like two papers that come up.
Okay.
Right now because it's new. But basically, what you can do is John Fuller and John Rathmaker and others. What they did was they took HMB free acid and you just put it sublingually and hold it in your mouth. It will actually absorb.
Wow.
Yeah. So and it absorbs at a much higher, more rapid peak, and it stays in your blood a lot longer.
Mm.
And we found in really high resistance strain athletes at University of Tampa that when you take it just 30 minutes before exercise, we beat the, you know, we had a really hardcore training session, and it sped recovery, seemed to lower protein breakdown, and all those good things. So, you know, that's another option as well.
Yeah. No, I like that. That's really cool. That's really, really cool. Now, you're going to be speaking. There's a lecture coming up, right? The International Sports Science Nutrition Lecture. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, the International Society of Sport Nutrition. If you just look that up, International Society of Sport Nutrition, or the ISSN.org. Essentially, we're doing a conference, a one-day conference at University of Tampa, and you have some of the top sport nutrition scientists in the world come there and speak. Chess Stout's going to be there. Jose Antonio is going to be there. Abby Smith, who's an expert in beta-alanine, is going to be there. My good friend Ben Pakulski, he's one of the top IFBB bodybuilders in the world, is going to go ahead and talk as well. And it's one of those workshops where people will actually get a chance to sort of interact and meet with the scientists.
Can people get CEUs from it if they are personal trainers and stuff?
Yeah. They can get CEUs. So, you know, they're going to learn. It's a good networking opportunity, and it's a good continuing education. And it's special. It's focused on skeletal muscle and sport nutrition.
When is this?
This is February 23rd. And if they just go to the ISSN.org or look up International Society of Sport Nutrition, go to the conferences section on the website, and they'll see the Tampa conference.
Cool. Now, talk about your dad just for a second before I let you go. So, was your dad a power lifter?
My dad was a firefighter, and but he's always liked his, you know, physical attributes and stuff like that. And he actually cycles a lot now, but he also lifts weight, so he has sort of a concurrent training thing going on. Yeah. But he likes to lift heavy weight. You know, and he likes to be strong, he likes to be powerful. So we're constantly working on his program and his training, and it's successful, you know, because, you know, he's in really good shape. So,
very cool.
You know, it's phenomenal.
Very, very cool. Listen, I like this research, and please promise to come back on the show. I know you're working on some other studies. Stay in touch with Ginny so we can have you back on the show, okay?
Absolutely. It was a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Wilson. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
All right, stay tuned. When we come back, I've got something I want to talk about, really important.
Know about.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the product you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
You already know about Titan Organics virgin coconut oil and that Carl says it's the best in the world. Titan has raw organic honey from the Brazilian rainforest produced under sustainable and environmentally conscious conditions. It's a creamy, non-filtered, rare honey. Or check out their 100% organic raw agave nectar from the lush, pristine farms in Tequila, Mexico. Naturally low glycemic sweetener. You can trust Titan Organics to provide the best raw products found anywhere. Go to superhumanradio.com and save 15% off any purchase when you use the coupon code TITAN15. That's TITAN15. Extreme Formulations is the only company with a proprietary diet protein product with a 49% whey to 51% casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It also contains micro encapsulation essential fatty acids, so they're stable in the bottle to deliver a muscle building punch. And it tastes great too. Flavors like banana cream, chocolate peanut butter, cookies and cream, and many more. All their dairy protein is from right here in the USA. It's 100% made in America. Go to xfmuscle.com and get your Ultra Peptide 2.0
today.
People
who are looking for performance and health benefits, turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else. Period. Whey Natural USA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in Whey Natural USA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WheyNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WheyNaturalUSA.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Are you in the midst of cutting body fat? Feel exhausted when it's time to train but don't want to use pre-workout drinks because they're loaded with sugar and carbs? Ice V2 is here to help you get intense while carbohydrate depleted. Ice V2 has only 1 gram of non-sugar carbs per serving. Ice V2 is loaded with strength-amplifying anabolic activators that will make your workouts more productive while allowing you to cut the fat. Cut the fat. Loaded with amino acids, Ice V2 contains the unique Formel Norvaline that acts as a pump amplifier. Get Ice V2 today at xfmuscle.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. Okay, I got something I want to talk about. A study that was embargoed, that was just released today, talks about how the makers of metformin have discovered how it works. Ha ha ha. Isn't that funny? They prescribe it to so many people, and they just figured out how it works. I mean, and look, I understand that they knew that it affected a certain pathway. They just weren't clear on how it affected that pathway. And now they know how it affects that pathway, which kind of is scary, but that's the way pharmaceuticals are. If you're on them, you know, you take your life in your own hands by taking pharmaceutical drugs, in my opinion. Unless you have a disease that's going to kill you and you're using the drug to rescue yourself, you really have to think twice. Not only does your doctor not know how this stuff works, but the companies that make it don't know how it works. So back on track. I digress. The company that makes metformin discovered how it works. And how it affects the liver and what it does to the liver that actually helps people lower their blood sugar. And the reason I want to talk about this is because, not because of what the drug does, But I wanted to talk about the importance of focusing on your liver this year if you haven't done this already. And I don't mean going out and getting a bottle of N-acetylcysteine and taking it for a while and go, okay, I'm done. Focusing on the liver is an important discussion. I think it's interesting that the liver, the word liver, starts with live. I wonder why they called it the liver. I have a feeling that if we did some research that it probably is because without it, we can't live. Without our hearts, we can't live either, so maybe that's not it. But anyway, the way metformin works is it causes the liver not to release glucagon, which then increases blood sugar. And I suspect that as we age, this problem occurs at a greater degree because our livers are filthy. And I did a show many years ago talking about the liver. I equated the liver to a sponge in your sink. You know, we all have a sponge that we use to clean dishes and pots and pans with. And every now and then we got to throw it away, right? Even if you're like me and you put it in the dishwasher, squeeze it out, pour some Clorox on it, you know, try to keep it as clean as possible. The thing starts to stink. It gets nasty and it changes colors. And it just, and then you're like, wait a minute, I'm going to take this filthy sponge. I'm going to wipe this dish with it. I don't think so. And you throw it away and you get a new sponge. Well, your liver is like a sponge, like that sponge. But unfortunately, you can't take it out. You can't squeeze it. You can't throw it away. You can't pour Clorox on it. But there are things that you can do and you need to do. Okay. Obviously, taking things like N-acetylcysteine at higher doses, maybe 1 to 2 grams a couple times a day, along with some milk thistle a couple times a day for months. Not just for a week, not just for when you're on cycle on some oral steroid, for months and months as part of your regular routine is important. But in my opinion, the most important thing that you can do, and this is true whether you're a woman still menstruating or not, is give blood periodically. I cannot tell you, we did a whole show on the longevity effects of giving blood. We know that giving blood allows the body to, first of all, rid itself of dirty blood. That's right, dirty blood. Blood that has been overloaded and laden with metals, iron, and everything else. It also causes the body to produce new blood, which is good. It's good for the bone marrow. It's good for so many different functions in the body for it to produce new blood. But more importantly, think about it. If you're changing the oil in your car, right, regularly, you don't have to get rid of the filter as frequently. The only time the oil filter needs to be changed, like, right away is when you never change the oil in your car. The filter has to do all the work in getting the sludge out of the oil. Your liver's the same way. So since you can change the oil in your bloodstream, so to speak, by giving blood, a pint of blood, once every 3 months or so, some of you may even try more frequently. Talk to your doctor or talk to the person at Red Cross. That's why I tell you to go do it, because they use the blood for emergencies. You don't have to go to one of these sleazy places where you sell your blood. Go to the Red Cross, donate blood, give a pint of blood every 3 months, and let your body use the clean blood to off-put the sludge in your liver. So the next time you go give your blood again and it produces some new blood, it's like the liver's going, wow, I got someplace to put this dirt now. It doesn't have to stay in me. I can put it out there. I can get rid of it because this guy's going to change his oil. This gal's going to change their oil pretty soon again. But whatever you do, whatever you decide to do, do your own research if you want. Find out the best things you can do for your liver, whey protein, things that increase glutathione. These are all important things to do. Because as the years go on, we're going to find out that many of the people who are diabetic and that are at normal weight are diabetic because their livers aren't functioning properly anymore. You know, it's worse today than ever before. Remember, the diet of the average American person is laden with chemicals. The FDA in its divine wisdom says, well, a little of that isn't that bad. Well, guess what? We've had so much of a little of this and a little of that that our livers are clogged. They're filthy. So what I want you to do and think about for 2013 is be kind to your liver. Do some things to benefit it. Do some things to help clean it. Take N-acetylcysteine. Take milk thistle. Take it for a long time. Make it a regular part of your supplement regimen. Help your liver do the job that it wants to do, which is to keep you healthy. And this is especially true for people on pharmaceutical drugs. If you have a relative, they're taking meds, the liver is what usually goes first, and then the kidneys. So help them out as well. All right, I just wanted to get that out there. Thanks for listening today. We've got great shows planned all week. We'll talk to you later.
Superheroes, this is the Superhuman Channel.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's